EF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this session in the boot camp track on web services. The title is Creating and Consuming Web Services with CFML. So that tells you two things. We're going to just talk about using Cold Fusion CFML to build and to consume web services. So we're going to talk about both if you've got data you want to make available to people who want to use web services to get into your application. And then we're going to talk about if you know that there's data out there somewhere on the web that you would like to bring in to your application. So bringing it in is called consuming the web services. Pushing it out is called publishing a web service. And both of them are very easy to do with Cold Fusion MX, Blue Dragon. So anything from CFMX 6 and above and Blue Dragon 6 and above, you can do web services with CFML. My name is Charlie Earhart. For you guys who don't know me, I'll do a little bit of introduction in a couple of minutes, but there's my email address, certainly if you have questions, and it's in your handouts, which are on page 170. Page 170 is where the handouts for this session start. Okay. So again, we're going to talk about this stuff as if you don't necessarily know anything about it. So that's a good thing if you come in here not knowing anything about web services, you're okay, because I'm going to explain some of the basics, not spend too much time on it, but enough that we're all on the same page, and then get into some of the real meat of how to take advantage of it. So we'll jump right into publishing a web service in CFML, and also how to test it, which is a little bit different than just running web pages in classic CFML. So we'll talk about those little distinctions, help you understand what you need to know, and then move to consuming a web service. And we'll start with a web service that we wrote ourselves, and then we'll also consume a publicly available web service, because we do have an internet connection here, and we'll give that a shot. And talk about some of the different ways when you invoke a web service that you can invoke that web service. You might think there's just one. Some of you who work with CFML doing web services, you may know about CF Invoke. But CF Invoke is just one way, and there's actually multiple ways to use CF Invoke. And there's CF Object and Create Object. And we'll talk about those different ways, talk about passing data to a web service and what the various implications are. And then some little details and caveats to be aware of as you get started with this. But we're going to leave it at that, not get much deeper into it, because this is really a basics track. This is the boot camp track. So we won't get too deep. If any of you guys here were looking at how to call a .NET web service, you know, and what kind of goes wrong with that, I won't get into that too much. I can't remember if I cover it at all. I might cover it just briefly in this talk, because you certainly can do it. But there are some things that you trip over. And then in the immediate talk, one or the other ones, I know I do talk about that for those who are looking for that sort of discussion. And you can read in the descriptions and also just look at the presentation for the intermediate talk, which will be on Friday. And then, as I always like to do when I do my presentations, I'll conclude with where you can learn more. Not just the docs, although the docs are often awesome and people often don't read them, but there's a lot of great articles and other resources that you can turn to learn more about this whole subject of web services in general and specifically consuming and publishing them in CFML. A little background about myself. Currently, some people have asked me because they knew that I used to be CTO of New Atlanta, the makers of Blue Dragon, and that was for the past 3 years. Prior to that, I've worked with Fig Leaf and have worked on my own in various capacities. But I'm currently now with a company in Charlotte called Garrison Enterprises, and they're just a CFML shop like you guys, and they have some really interesting technology and things that they solve. Actually, if you ever, you know, go to a restaurant, the restaurant inspectors are state and county employees typically, and for years they've been doing a very laborious manual process to manage the inspections. Well, Garrison has been in the business for 6 years automating that, and they have 600 customers throughout the country that automate the process of restaurant inspections and hotel inspections and all that sort of stuff. So it's not just cool, fun stuff technologically, but it's also a great service to know that we're helping make all those restaurants do their job of keeping things safe for us as the consumers of their food. So anyway, that's what I'm doing now, working with them as CTO. And we've got opportunities, so if anybody's interested, we can talk more about that later. I've been working with CF now for nearly 10 years and have been in IT for 25 years. Yes, I started very young. I was just a little tiny kid. No. Right out of college, I started working with mainframes and moved into mainframe databases and then started with Cold Fusion 10 years ago. And have co-authored the CFMX Bible with Hal Helms and Adam and David Chervis. I've also frequently contributed to the CFDJ, have about 35, 40 articles in there. And then previously was the tech editor until about 3 years ago, and am a certified advanced CF developer for 4.5 and MX, was a certified instructor, and was a Team Macromedia member and Team Malaria member. And I speak at conferences all over the country and around the world. Okay, so let's move on to the topic of web services. So what is a web service? And again, some of you may be here perhaps with more experience, and you may define things differently. But again, I'm just trying to help people get started with kind of understanding it, not just in pure technical terms like I might get off of Wikipedia. So I want to make it terms that might make sense to you. I would say look at a web service as a web page that's designed to be consumed by software rather than viewed by people. Okay? So if you just think of a web service as that, it's a way to make data available to programs, or for you to get data from somebody else's site and making it so that they can provide it to you easily. Some of you may remember that actually back in the LAIR days and CF4 timeframe, we had something called WDDX, Web Distributed Data Exchange. And its goal was to create a means to make available data to programs in a way that provided the data as XML and it, without you having to learn any XML. So you would use WDDX to serialize some data, like a query, and it would pump it out as an XML stream, and now some page could come get that data. And it would be an XML stream, but then they had to know what to do with WDDX. So actually, Alair back then, and Macromedia still today, and now Adobe today, still supports WDDX. It's one way to package up some data from your site and share it as XML. But it was really the precursor to web services, before web services had really evolved into the standard that it is today. So it was not standard, although they did release it as an open source opportunity to be turned into a standard, and there's a website out there called openwddx.org, if any of you guys are at all interested in that. If you have to trade data with somebody and web services just isn't working for you for some reason, you may be able to use WDDX and get around the problem. And it also wasn't the classic kind of caller response approach that you'll find we get in web services, or some people may be familiar with RPC and CORBA, if you know what those things are. So anyway, that's kind of a generic way of looking at it, but another way of looking at it is a remotely consumable software component. Okay, so it gets into this component-oriented approach to design, published on the web through a universal interface. So the universal aspect of it says it's not something like WDDX, where most people in IT would know what that was. Pretty much everybody now knows what web services is. So by using web services, you're making your data available to remote consumers in a way that they should be able to get at it without knowing anything about Cold Fusion. It's a universally supported standard called web services, and there's a bunch of different parts to it. And there's really a lot of movement to this notion of service-oriented architecture with applications providing data and services to each other. So that's really what we're talking about in the big picture. Perhaps it might help to see some other depiction of this stuff. So we're talking about two applications, like maybe ColdFusion and Java, or maybe Java and ColdFusion, or .NET, PHP. Again, this is not ColdFusion-specific stuff. So two application servers might need to trade data with each other through the internet, and web services is a very common, popular way to do it. And often, either end can be the client or the server. So there really isn't even this notion of client-server so much. It's that either end can do it. But typically, one side is asking for data, and the other side's providing it. So the provider is called the server often, and the requester is called the client. The good news is that over the past several years, the standards that support all this have really come together now. So most web applications do support this stuff very generically. And the ones you'll hear about, we're not going to go into any detail, because you don't need to know this detail, but just so you can speak the language if somebody brings it up. SOAP, Simple Object Access Protocol, is the primary way we do web services. WSDL is a way of describing a web service to others to come get it. It's a form of XML, and it's just a standard defined way of doing XML. The really cool thing about doing web services in ColdFusion is you don't need to know anything about XML. You don't need to know anything about SOAP or WSDL necessarily. You, by and large, can do a lot of this stuff without any knowledge of these underlying details. But the good news is that the details are what make it commonly, widely supported. UDDI is something that was promulgated as a standard to help make it easy to find web services, kind of like a phone book for web services. And it just hasn't really taken off as much. Kind of like, you know, yeah, Yahoo created this big directory so you could find websites, and people sometimes went to Yahoo, you know, I'm talking about 5-10 years ago, because it was the directory of the web, and you didn't know how to find something. Well, now, by and large, we find things out through articles, or somebody tells us about it, or we read a link. So we don't need a directory to the internet, right? Or we use Google to search it, because we're searching for content. With web services, they just figured that you needed to know where the web service was and what were the ways that you would call it. So they thought you needed to have a directory, and they proposed this one. But it just hasn't really taken off because most people just let whoever wants to come get their data know here's where it is and here's how you get it. And we'll get into the details of how you describe where it is and how they come and get it. And then the final piece is XML, extensible markup language. And it's all this underpinning is based on XML. But again, you don't need to know XML yourself to be able to do this sort of stuff. Yep, CFML hides all this from you for the most part. So just in the big picture, what are some ways someone might use web services? Well, it'll generally enable an organization to expose their data to somebody who wants to come get it. So it could be not just some outsider. So let me clarify in case anybody's thinking, well, we work in an intranet application and we would never expose our data to the public or to any third parties. Well, hold on. There may still be value in web services just for you to expose your data to other platforms used in your organization. So you might have mainframe data or mainframe applications that you wish could come get the data that you're creating in your ColdFusion application. You can do that. Mainframes can talk to ColdFusion applications using web services. Or perhaps even more important is vice versa. You've got a ColdFusion app and you've got some old mainframe data that you can't get at. You could use web services to get at that data. So it's not just about exposing your data to the public. And in the DC area, perhaps that kind of notion of private data and government organizations, maybe that's a really important point to make. But you may want to share your data with other organizations. Maybe it's just with other agencies. So it's still not to the public, but it's agency to agency or company to company in the case of a business to business application. And then finally, you could maybe expose some data publicly. And we'll talk later about some of the things that are out there for you to get data publicly. There are alternatives to a lot of things that you use every day that make the data available as web services for those who want to write programs to go get that data. And this is generally referred to as syndicating your content. The people who have the data that want to make it available, they're syndicating the content to make it available to third parties to come and get. Okay, so you might use it to expose your inventory to a partner or products to your affiliates or governments sharing data within organizations. Or you can go get things like weather reports and stock quotes and all sorts of things, just to name a few. And the really cool thing about all this is that if any of you took, like advanced CF back in the day, when we talked about how you use CF HTTP to go scrape a website and pull down its HTML and use regular expressions and break it all apart, you could do all that stuff. But the beauty of these web services is you don't have to do that. If somebody's got data that they think people are going to frequently come get programmatically, then the maker of that data, the owner of that data, could use web services to make it available, and you as the consumer don't need to go do this tedious screen scraping to get it anymore. You just call the web service and you get your data back. So here are some of the examples of places that use web services. Again, you might be surprised to hear that all of these things provide their data as web services, things as obvious to us on the web as Google, but things also like the Postal Service and FedEx and UPS and Amazon and on and on. All these places and lots of books out there talking about it. They talk about doing it specifically with this. This is books on how to use Google Web Services and how to use Amazon and Google Web Services. So again, the subject is very widely supported. It's not at all unique to us. And you just need to study from each of these sites how they make their data available and then use the techniques we're going to talk about in this class. And you can go get data from, say, UPS. So if you've got a website where you let people indicate through some intranet application that they've filed a package to be shipped, you can track the shipping from UPS directly via a web service. You could send out a request to UPS, say, here's my tracking number, and it'll tell you where it is. And you could make that part of a management application that people could be able to keep track of internal shipping. And same with the Postal Service, FedEx, and Amazon. You can provide people lists of data that they find at Amazon. You could provide your own internal application that says, what are all the books that mention our company's name? And there are ways to do that sort of thing. So we'll talk about a little example of that a little bit later on. Even cooler, because these can sometimes be kind of tedious, and maybe sometimes they make the data you have to sign up to be able to use it. Most of them are free, but you might have to sign up and get an ID. If you just want to get started playing with it, the really nice thing is that there are a lot of sites out there that provide publicly available web services that you can just play with today. You don't have to know anything, sign up. You just go to the website, and I don't know if we'll have time to go today to look at those, but those are sites that are available that list all sorts of web services, and you can just, again, read what they say as to how to call them, and we'll show you how to use that information to be able to get at their data. The point is CFM makes it so much easier. With a lot of other languages, you need to know about XML, you need to know about proxies, you need to know about all kinds of stuff. And again, there's whole books on how to do it. There is no book on creating and consuming web services in ColdFusion. And it's not because ColdFusion is not popular, it's because there's not enough that justifies writing a book about it. But there's a lot you need to know to do it in these other languages, and so they have books on it. And I'm only being slightly facetious there. I mean, it really is true. The coverage of how to do web services in CFML is a chapter in the ColdFusion docs, and it's really all you need, by and large, to be able to do probably 80% of what you will ever need to do. So both ColdFusion MX, not CF5, but ColdFusion MX and Blue Dragon support publishing and consuming web services. Again, you don't need to know anything about all those underlying details. And processing them as well is also easy. And the other end of the conversation doesn't need to be ColdFusion or CFML based. It can be any of those platforms we talked about, Java, .NET, PHP, because they all support web services, and you can go both directions. So when we're finally ready to, well, let me just distinguish briefly between publishing and consuming. Publishing a web service is, again, making some data available. And basically, in ColdFusion, you just create a CFC, a ColdFusion component. And if you didn't catch it, Ray Camden just did a 3-hour introduction to CFCs, and there'll probably be other talks today on the introduction to CFCs. I don't have too much time to get into the details, but I'll show you a little bit to get started. But you create a CFC and expose one of its methods, and we'll explain what that is. You make that method remote. By declaring that method to be remote, you're saying that you don't want it to be callable just by other ColdFusion applications. You want it to be callable by anybody as a web service. And the really neat thing is that there's not anything you need to do other than that. And now your data is available as a web service. You just provide some data to the caller of your method using CFReturn. And whatever data you provide, you don't have to care about XML. If you want to return a string, you say CFReturn, double quote, Charlie, double quote. And that will return Charlie to the caller of the web service. And under the covers, ColdFusion, Blue Dragon, and the whole web service framework will turn it into XML and then turn it back into a string on the other end. And nobody ever has to know anything about the XML. And the consuming of it is also easy. You'll just write either a CF invoke or a CF object or create object to point to somebody's web service, perhaps your own to test it, or some third-party one. And you point to the URL and pass in some data maybe, and you get back the data that's returned by the method that you called. So again, this is a little bit high level, just giving you the picture in your mind. We're going to go into each of these throughout the remainder of this presentation. Any questions to this point? Anybody? Yep. Yep, we'll talk about that to a degree. Simple stuff is very easy to do. More complex stuff, it depends on what it is. For instance, as an example, a query. It's real typical and reasonable to think, I'd like to return a query to somebody as a web service. And it's so easy in ColdFusion and Blue Dragon to treat queries as something that we can just freely pass around. If you didn't know that, you can. You can store them in session scopes and application scopes and do all kinds of stuff. You can return it as a web service. It's not going to complain, but the person calling your web service, if it's not ColdFusion or Blue Dragon, it's not going to know what to do with that query because it doesn't know what a query is. A query isn't a generically widely understood thing, so unfortunately it won't work quite the way you expect. You could try it, but it won't work unless the caller is also a ColdFusion person. So there are other things like structures and arrays that are maybe a better way to package things up, and I'll talk about that as a solution to that problem. So I'll get to that caveat later. Okay, if there's not any others, let's go ahead and publish our first web service. So again, I'm going to assume you have some data you want to publish. And this is getting to the point the gentleman asked about. You can publish any of these kinds of data very easily. Strings, arrays, structures, arrays of structures, queries with that caveat that we'll talk about later, XML objects, and more. And again, this is all discussed in great length in the docs. I just want to give you an overview of the possibilities, and I'll point you to the docs to learn more about any particular nuances that are of interest to you. So again, all you need to do is create a CFC that returns some data and expose the method as remote. And there's a lot of other benefits that CFCs have. We're not going to get into a CFC discussion at length here, but the use for web services is really one of the easier ways. If you've never used CFCs, you could get caught up in all kinds of arguments and debates and patterns and issues and challenges and this scope and var and all that stuff. But sometimes just doing something as a web service might be a lot more straightforward as your first opportunity to work with CFCs, because it's really quite simple, and we'll see that in just a moment. So a CFC is a file with a file extension of CFC, something.cfc instead of something.cfm. And the other distinguishing characteristic is that it has a CF component tag at the beginning and the end. And then in the middle, you can do all sorts of other things, but the key points are you start with a file that's something.cfc, and then it has opening and closing component tags. Typically, inside of those, you do some methods, or what CFML chose to call functions, so it's CF function. Generically, the term is a method, but they use the tag CF function. And you name what the name of the method will be to be called by somebody later, and then you describe that you want it to be available to somebody who calls a web service, so you add the attribute access equals remote. And then as soon as you do that, a little tip for you guys that do CFCs, as soon as you make a method remote, you must then declare the return type. You don't have to if you're just using CFCs inside of ColdFusion apps, but if you make it a web service, you'll be forced, if you run it, you'll find you're forced to define a return type. So you pick the return type, and if you're using something like HomeSite Plus or ColdFusion Studio, you don't have to remember this stuff. You just start building component, or actually the CF function is the one we're talking about. And up pop the attributes, and there's access equals, and there's remote, and then when you say return type equals, up pop all those options, all kinds of different options. So you don't have to remember this stuff. Okay? And then, having said that I've created a method that I want to make available to somebody to call, then I pass some data back. Naturally, in a real-world application, you'll be doing all kinds of stuff in here, grabbing data out of a query, doing some manipulation to it, doing some determination, and then returning some data. But this is a classic Hello World application. Let's just start simple. That's really all there is to it. This is as now available as a web service. If you drop this onto ColdFusion MX or Blue Dragon, you now have a web service. And all the person calling it needs to do is know what the URL is of the web service, of the name of the CFC, and what the method is. So they need to know where this is, what it's called, and what its method is. And then the first time somebody calls it, unlike other languages where you might have to do some background stuff, in ColdFusion or Blue Dragon, the first time somebody calls the web service, under the covers, some magic happens by the engine, and it just makes itself available as a web service. There's no further work on your part. Somebody can now call this. As soon as you drop it into your website, they can now call it. So how would they call it? Well, any language that knows how to call web services can call it. They just need to know the domain name and a port, like if you're running on port 8500 in ColdFusion MX, or if you're not running on a port, don't worry about that. You just put in the URL. I'll show you a real example in a moment. And then you name perhaps where the directory of the CFC is. It doesn't need to be in the root. It could be in some subdirectory. You just provide it. So it's really like building a URL for a website, and it might end up looking like this.
HTTP, the name of the name, some directory, maybe demo in my example, the name of the CFC. And then the last piece, is, which trips you up sometimes if you're not paying attention when you get started, you add this question mark wisdom. Question mark wisdom, you add that to the end of the request for the URL. I've stored mine in a directory called demo, so this is the way to call my CFC. And that will enable somebody to call it. That's what they need to be able to call it. That doesn't really execute the method yet. We're not there. But it's what they need. It's kind of like the phone number to call that web service. Now, if you happen to drop that URL into a browser, you would get this kind of display. Let's take a look at that. This is me running it live. That screenshot you have is for you to look at later. So, if I say that URL, localhost demo, hello.cfc, question mark, whistle, I get back a whole bunch of wacky looking stuff if it's your first time looking at it. And this is Internet Explorer, which happens to take any XML it gets and tries to present it in a nice, friendly way. So this is just IE. If I looked at it in Firefox, it wouldn't look quite like that. One of the nice things about IE's way of showing XML, if you didn't know this, you can now collapse things and you can hide things and kind of get a better sense of stuff when there's a whole lot of stuff on the screen. That's kind of nice. But what we see in here, and you really don't need to study this, but what you do see in here is a bunch of things that represent what you created in your web service with interesting little details that mean something to people that like to pick them apart, and if they ever have to solve a problem with them, it's nice to be able to get it. But you don't need to know this stuff. You don't need to understand it. You really can ignore it. But it's just useful to know that it's there. And you get it by dropping that URL into a browser. That naturally, again, does not execute the web service. It just gets a description of the web service. And that description is then often used by tools that say, what's available at that web service? So
if we have time later, I'll show Dreamweaver. I can open Dreamweaver MX, put that URL in, and it'll tell me what methods are available at that web service. It knows how to parse that XML. You don't need to worry about it. It'll tell you. And we'll talk about some other nuances and benefits of working with that kind of stuff. We're talking about testing it later. But let's talk about really using it. To use it to get some data in your application, you use either CF Invoke, CF Object, or Create Object. So with CF Invoke, you name the web service, and you name the method, and you give it a variable name to hold the result. And the result, named in that return variable, is something you can then do something with, like output it. So here I'm CF Invoking the web service, that's an attribute in CF Invoke, web service equals that URL. Just like I typed it on the browser, but now I'm not doing it in the browser, so there's the question mark whistle, and that'll trip you up, you'll forget that, and you'll get in trouble. You have to put that question mark whistle. And then back comes the data from the method, in this case called getHello, stored in the variable called frontHello. Because we knew it was a string, I could just CF output and display it. If it were an array, I couldn't do that. I'd need to instead loop through it, or I could CF dump it. So that as you're getting started, I'll just share the tip. Whenever you're first calling a web service, CF dump whatever the return is. You never know what it might be. And your attempt to use it in the way you think it is may not be what it really is. So there's a little tip to consider. But that will work. Let me just show you that. So here's the code, CF Invoke, just as we saw it on the screen, and I'll go ahead and browse that. That's not what, that was from a previous screen. There it is, there's the hello world. Okay, so that code prompted or displayed hello world, because here was the CFC returning the word hello world. I'll just put an exclamation point, save it, refresh it, and there's the exclamation point. So it really is that straightforward. It's just like building web pages in CFML. You same model, save changes, refresh it. It just works. Okay, so that's consuming a web service. Let me undo that so in the future it jives with my screens. You can also use CF Object or Create Object. Subtle difference between the two. With CF Invoke, whether you're calling a CFC or a web service, it invokes it, invokes its method, gets its result, and frankly, you can't do anything anymore with that web service or CFC. You'd have to invoke it again. With CF Object or Create Object, you're really getting an instance of the web service against which then you can invoke the methods more than one time. So on the surface, this isn't really that different from what we did. We're saying, actually, I'll get to that more with Create Object. With CF Object, So with the CF Object or Create Object, I name the web service, very similar, it's just a different syntax. And here I'm not naming the result of calling the web service. You notice I'm not even calling the method. I'm giving it a variable name. And that variable name now is a pointer to the web service so that for the life of this page until it ends, I have access to that web service. And I could call the methods more than once or call different methods on the same web service. So a little subtle difference between that and CF Invoke. But when you get started, don't worry too much about that. Anyway, the same result comes out, hello world. But I'm naming the method on the object or the instance of the object, or think of it that way, it's like an object dot method name notation, but it's a pointer to the web service. Here's my download method. And then if you've done any work with any kind of object oriented stuff, a method is often called with parentheses. And if there's any data you pass to it, that's put in the parentheses. We'll get to that in a moment. Then if you happen to not like tags and you prefer scripting, this is the same thing, just done in a script. CF script, closing CF script, you've never done it. You just don't see CF set. That's all that's different. I'm not setting a variable to a value. I'm just saying, I have this thing that I want to be made equal to some other thing. And in this case, you say create object. Same concept, web service is kind of done slightly differently. It's an argument for the function. And then you say the same value in the URL. Don't forget your semicolons. You need that in CF scripts. There's a semicolon at the end. The result of that is an instance created in this variable from hello. So it's kind of the same notion. And now I could drop this line out here after the CF script, it would work the same. But if you didn't know it, if you ever want to do outputting inside a CF script, you can't put a CF output tag. You use the write output function. A lot of folks don't even know that exists. There's a write output function, and I named it the same thing that I would have said in a CF output, but I do it inside of a write output with the closing parentheses.
Are
two
you
questions.
Going in out to the internet a second time, or are you, is everything already on your computer?
Well, let's be clear. I'm not necessarily going out to the internet at all since it's a local host, but I think your question is, if I were to run these twice, would I be...
No, when you run the CF object, are you getting something that...
Now, it's just a pointer to the web service. So it is, I'll say, technically it is going out to the internet twice. It goes out once to get the description of the web service and brings that back to be able to say, I'm going to do something with it. And then the next time you invoke the method, you're going out again to the web service to get the data. So I guess the bottom line is that the invoke does both of those at once. Gets the web service, creates an instance, runs the method, brings it back. And technically it does that in one call. So there's a subtle difference there. But the bottom line is if you're going to call the method more than once, it would be more efficient to create an instance and call the method multiple times using this approach than to invoke it multiple times. That would be heavier. Hold your question. Let me get to the lady behind you and then I'll come back. She asked from a performance perspective, which of the methods do you prefer? And I would say between these two, I would say there's no difference. Between this and CF invoke, there's no difference if all you're doing in this example, is invoking one method, because they're both doing the same thing. There could be a subtle difference, because yes, it did go out once across the network to get the web service, and then again to call the method. And Tom, would you say anything different in that regard? Yeah. So no difference there, but here's where it gets big. A lot of people who don't know about CF invoke or CF object or create object do everything with CF invoke. And they've got to call the web service two or three times to get different methods, or they're doing it in a loop. You know, that's where it's worse. They're doing a query and then taking some value from the query and calling a web service to get some data. And inside the loop, they CF invoke and CF invoke and CF invoke each time, which logically is not a problem, but it's just like the difference between doing a query of a inside of a query. If you do a CF query and loop over it inside of that CF output loop, do another CF query going back to the same database, what should you have done instead? If anybody missed it, I said if I do a CF query and I do a CF output query loop and inside of that CF output query loop, I do another CF query to go back to the same database to get some related data, what should I probably have done instead? A join. So it's the same kind of notion that it's reasonable to do that, but if you've never been taught about joins, same thing. I could see someone looping over something and doing CF invoke inside of it, and there's nothing wrong with it, but the performance is terrible because each time it goes out and does both those sets of work. It goes and gets the web service description, creates an instance of it, and runs its method and brings it back. So it would be more performant to do the CF object once above the loop, and inside of the loop, just call the method. Any additions to that? Anybody? Okay. Let me jump back to the gentleman in the back.
Once you consume, let's say instead of a string, let's say you consume query data, what are the parameters you have available to you to manipulate that data, let's say just sorting or possibly utilizing it and maybe inserting it into a database table? What can you do once you consume the data from a query?
Consume the data from a query or from a web service?
From a web service.
Yeah, once you've consumed something from a web service.
Not using a string, but an actual query.
Well, but again, I want to be really clear. If you're serving up CF queries as web services, you're not going to be able to serve that to anybody but another Cold Fusion customer. So you may not be wanting to do that. You might instead want to do something I'll talk about later, which is turn the query into something that's more... Exactly. And I'll talk about that later. But anyway, to answer your question, whatever result you get back, you treat it just like whatever it is. So if it's a string, you can output. If it's an array, you could do CF loop over it. If it's a query, you could CF output query loop over it. You'd had one more, or is it answered?
Yeah, if you're writing general purpose software where you don't really know the names of the methods before you make that first call, would you then do everything you need after the CF object call? You know the names of the methods and then you can
Well, nothing in CFML exposes the availability of what the methods are. And actually, I'll ask Tom to confirm, is there anything in CFML programmatically that gives you the list of methods for a given web service?
Just CF dump.
Oh, that's true, in CF dump. So you could CF dump it and you would see them. Just for grins, let's do that. That's great. So we'll say CF dump. Actually, we can't do it here because, from hello. So the instance name is from hello, and what happens if I view that in a dump? I see all kinds of stuff. Unfortunately, there's a lot more to it than just the methods, but they're in there. The get hello method is one of the things that's going to be in there. Yeah, it's right at the top. And I had another one in there called get personal hello, we'll get to later. So you could conceivably do that, but it's not straightforward because you don't know when to stop looking at it. I could look at get headers and get timeout. Those weren't methods I declared. So unfortunately, right, there's no thing that says just give me the methods, at least not programmatically. There are some tools I'll talk about later that will allow you, because maybe your question really was, I've been given a web service, but I don't know what methods there are. How do I know what methods to call? That's different. I will give you tools to show you that. But programmatically determining it is a little bit harder, but not impossible. So you could also call something real, not just something you built. The xmethods.net site happens to have a temperature web service that reports the current temperature for a given zip code. So you could go to the xmethods site and read about it, and you would learn that it has the URL of this/that/that/this. And they say .wizzle. It's not a Cold Fusion app, so they're, whatever language is written in, their approach is to say, you need to call me with .wizzle. So be careful about that. Whoever makes the web service will tell you, here's how you call me. And then what's the method? And again, you look at the dots at xmethods.net. It says it's got a get temp method. And then you would see that it also accepts an argument of zip codes. And we haven't talked about passing in data yet, so I apologize. It's a little bit ahead of things, but I wanted to show a real-world one. So if we had to call that method, passing in a zip code, then having called it, we can see if it votes, so we end up with a variable called weather, and I can output the weather. And actually, I don't know why that says ATEM. I'm sorry, that's a mistake. I have it in here, and let's just see what's different. Atemp. Oh, did I do that? Did I not do that on here? Yeah. So I apologize for that. So just a little note, make note of here in your slides that this should say weather, not atemp. Sorry about that. Slide 20. Sorry about that. Okay, now unfortunately I cannot run it because for some reason the xMethods web service for the temperature is currently not working. It's going to come back with a 999. I don't know why. That's the thing with web services is something's broken on their site and they're returning bad data and they're not telling us why. They just are providing bad data. But this had worked in the past. Now, in case anybody's saying, well, then you're really just kind of pulling the wool over eyes, aren't you? No. Here's one. They also had a stock service there. I found a stock service called InvestBot with stockquotes.asmx?wizdle, and it had a method called getQuote that took in a symbol. And so I passed in Microsoft, and I get back something. The problem with this particular one, and I would get into this more in the intermediate one, is that what comes back is an array with some stuff. It's a little bit harder to parse, and by doing some CF dumping, I did ultimately get it to know what it is I needed. So sometimes these things can be a little harder to parse than just a simple string, but in a moment I'm going to see a dump of the XML object that came back from that stock quote service and is live. So this was the XML string that came back, and luckily for us in Cold Fusion and X and above, we can pass an XML string into the XML parse function, and have an internally represented display of the data that was in that XML string, even including, you know, pictures and stuff. So that's pretty neat. But again, that's a little bit beyond what I wanted to get into. I only whipped that one together because the web service at xMethods wasn't working when I put this together a month ago, and unfortunately it's still not working. Okay, so his question was, if he calls a web service and it doesn't provide a response, what might it provide in reply? And it could provide all kinds of things. You could get status code errors. You could get friendly messages back as the return variable. And so there are means by which to catch those errors. And I was going to talk about this later, but I could say, I could wrap it in a CF try and catch the error and give the user a more friendly message than whatever it is they provide. Okay, so yes, you can catch errors thrown by invocations of a web service. In the interest of time, I need to move on, hold the questions for a little bit later if anybody had some still standing. Passing input, we need to show this because so far I've just been showing a simple hello world kind of thing, and I jumped into that one with the web service, temperature service, sorry about that. But let's talk about that. How did I get data passed in? So if I add another function or another method, a CF function, to our CFC, hello CFC, I'll add a new method. And yes, you can have more than one method or function inside of your CSC. So I've added a new one called getPersonalHello, remote, string. But it's going to return hello, whatever gets passed in. And what gets passed in is going to be declared, just in good programming practice, to be an argument named fname, which means now someone can pass in to me an fname, and whatever name they pass in, I'll get it back. Let's take a look at how we would invoke that. And we can do it again using either cf invoke or create object or cf object. And I have to apologize. This is a new laptop for me. I've been doing this long enough that I always have my editor set with a really big font, but this is a brand new laptop, and I apologize. I didn't do that, and nobody corrected me. So hopefully this will make that easier for you guys to see. Is that better? And if it's still not good enough, let me know. Still more? Anybody need it to be bigger? It's good now? Okay. I'm sorry about that. Nobody said anything. And again, I always leave it like this. I was just talking about this with Ray Camden and some other folks, that I just leave my laptop always at a big font. And some developers look at me and go, how in the world can you work that way? But if you turn on wrapping, it's not that bad. And for me, it helps make it so that whenever I show something, you guys can see it and I don't have to remember. So again, I apologize for that. Sorry? Well, it may be just... or did I not turn on? I've got wrapping turned on. Well, I can also do this. Or I can just do this. That's even faster. Yeah, there you go. So, again, sorry about that. So we are invoking the web service, still called hello.cfc, but it's getPersonalHello. And check it out. There's a couple different ways I can pass data into a web service. And this is also how you can pass data into a CFC. But since some of you maybe have never done CFCs, check it out. On the CF invoke, I can put anything in there. If it doesn't recognize it as a valid attribute, if it isn't one of those things in this list, argument, collection, component, method, you know, the well-defined attributes of the tag, then whatever else I pass in, and it doesn't even need to be at the end, it could be at the beginning, whatever I pass in, it'll say, oh, that must be an argument to the web service, and it'll pass it along. So that'll go into the Hello CFC, and it will pass it in, and because it passed it in, it'll also declare it internally to be called fname, and it'll make it available to us to output. So if I run this program, there's Hello Charlie. Okay, and I'll just show you, I can change it to Charlie2, and instantly it changes to Charlie2. So yes, I can pass data in to the web service. That's one way. We can also do it with CF invoke argument instead. So instead of naming it on the CF invoke, there's an available tag called CF invoke argument. All my examples so far just had a CF invoke, no closing CF invoke, because they didn't have any data inside of the CF invoke. CF invoke argument is one of those tags that you can do, kind of like CF HTTP param or CF proc param. You can stick it inside of the tag and do more. And in this case, we're declaring arguments. And it just has name and value and perhaps type. There's some other things you can specify, I think. I'm just doing that off the top of my head. But, and it's a shame, I've already shown the comment here to explain it, but why might you do this over that? Well, the cool thing here is you can do programmatic stuff. You could put an if test in here that says, if one thing, then the argument should be that. If another thing, it should be something else. You could do loops. You could do anything inside of here, any CFML at all, and manipulate what the attributes, or in this case, arguments, are going to be passed to the web service. Yes, sir?
Can you also use argument collection?
Yes. Argument collection. Yes, he said, could you use argument collection? Yes, you can. And I don't know if I show that in this presentation. No, I don't. So I'll talk about that in the intermediate one. But yes, argument collection would work as well. Now, what I showed you how you could put the URL for a web service in and see the WSDL, but check this out. If you didn't know it, you can also put in the name of the method and actually execute it and pass in strings and get back a result. Now, I have a little typo in your example, so check it out. Wherever on page 23 I said here, it should be demo, you know, if you're going to follow what I had. So let's take a look at that, see what's going on. So there's the get hello, which didn't take any arguments. So I was able to say method equals get hello. So what it is that I'm saying question mark WSDL and then ampersand. So question mark WSDL. This is all about building HTTP, strings, URL strings. So the question mark separates this stuff from the name of the file and the URL. And then if you have more things after this, then you use an ampersand. This is old
know it when we're passing in multiple things on the visual URL. So we say ampersand method equals and the name of the method. Or in this case, where I call get personal hello, you can also pass in what the other name would be. I say ampersand, this is another element on the line, that name equals Charlie.
And my point was is I can do that from the URL here. There it says hello Charlie, and I can come up here and say hello Bob. And it says hello Bob. So yeah, there's an interesting thing. You can use this to test your web service without having to write CF invoke code. You could also conceivably let somebody come get this data who doesn't really have a web service thing, because how programmatically could I make that request? Let's say I was writing a Cold Fusion program that didn't know how to use web services. Or maybe I'm calling this from CF5. CF5 doesn't have CF invoke. Well, how can I call this web service from CF5? CF HTTP. So I could call this web service that's running on CFMX or anything that runs web services, and I could call that and pass it in and get it back. I saw a question. Sounds like it answered it. Yep. Yeah, like if I say fname 2. Well, what happens, you can see we got an error, but what's really happening is what? Let's look at the CFC.
The real problem here is that because I didn't pass an fname, I didn't write good code. I didn't say, well, what if they don't pass me an fname? So any good programmer would instead say CFIF is defined arguments.fname, then output it. Otherwise, say you didn't provide me. So there's a subtle difference. One thing is if I write the code to not properly handle if I don't get what I expect. But if the other part of your question was, well, did it create an fname too? Yes, it did. It actually did. So if I change this, I did call it as fname 2, right? If I change this to say fname 2, now it would work. So you might say, well, now wait a second, I thought you had to declare it as fname. Well, no, what's going on, and this is getting beyond what we really should be talking about, but it's all about CF functions and stuff, is that anything that gets passed into it gets made available in, anybody know? It's a collection. What collection is it available in?
Arguments.
There's an arguments collection that gets created automatically with any data that gets passed into a method. And so technically, this is arguments.fname 2, and that's also arguments.fname. But the point is, if I get passed something in that isn't declared, then I can get at it by saying arguments.whatever, or because argument scope is in the search scope, it's finding it automatically. So we're getting a little bit beyond the what we should cover for web services, but there you go. Let me move on. Again, hold the questions if there are still any more. Let's hold those till later. We only have about 10, 15 minutes. So some caveats to be concerned with when doing this sort of stuff. Well, again, exception handling. And I think part of your question was, what if the web service fails? Yeah, you need to consider what will happen if the web service just doesn't provide its response. And so you want to use try-catch. And if you're not familiar with that, there are tags in CFML called CFTry and CFCatch. And they allow you to wrap something that you think might fail and say, if that thing fails, don't just throw an error to the screen like we saw there, but catch that error and let me do something friendly, like say to the user, I'm sorry, the web service isn't available, instead of getting that big ugly screen that we saw when we had that mistake. So again, that's a whole separate subject on error handling. I'll point out that I did a four-part series on error handling in CFML back in the CFDJ in 2000 and 2001. And if you go to the website of the URL that you saw from my address, careheart.org, I have links there to all those kind of things. Another neat thing that was finally added in 6.1, it wasn't there at first, is you can say, I'm not willing to wait forever for the web service. If it doesn't come back in X amount of seconds, then I want to throw an error and do something, either throw an ugly message to the end user or wrap it in a CF try and CF catch and say, hey, I'm sorry, we just got tired of waiting. That X web service isn't coming back in the time we're willing to wait. So it's an attribute called timeout that I could have put on the CF invoke. You'll see that it's there as one of the choices. Timeout equals, and I could have put a time in there. So that's new as of 6.1 and above. Very nice. And it's in seconds, yes. Now, there's some other things to be aware of. I mean, if you think about it, we've made this web service that really all somebody needs to know is what's the URL and what's the method. We're not doing anything to preclude who's allowed to use it. And you might create a web service that you do want to make be limited to only authorized users. Well, you can put security on the CFC page
using your web server, just like any other page. So if you're using IIS, you could declare that either that directory or that particular file should have basic authentication, and the user has to provide a username and password. Because there's an attribute on the CF invoke. There's the CF invoke, and again, in that list, one of the things is username, and then there's password. And I'll just throw out for those who see it, if you have to work behind a proxy, you can also specify the proxy server name, port, and password. Now, someone I'm probably sure is asking, okay, but we need to use digest authentication. Can we use, you know, Windows authentication? And no, this is only simple username and password. And Tom or anybody, any alternatives if somebody were to ask that question? Can you invoke a web service using Windows authentication behind it? Yeah, I'm not aware of any. You can use digest. There you go. It takes a little bit of extra effort. Yes, sir. Right, same thing. This doesn't support certificates. CFHTTP now supports passing a certificate, but I don't think CF Invoke does, no. Pretty right, CFHTTP does or does not?
Yeah, if your certificate is in your job.
There you go. So yeah, it's just one thing that hasn't gotten there, and that'd be a great thing to ask for CF8, if that was important enough for a lot of people. Then beyond this security, there's also the ability to leverage the new functionality that was added in CFMX and above for CF login and the related CF login user tag. So if the application that you're writing uses CF login and CF login user to do authentication, then once someone is authenticated using that, if you choose to set up that they're in a given role, then you can use that role to define that a given function, CF function, can only be called by those who are in that role. So again, that's way beyond what we talked about in this class. I did a whole chapter on the subject in the CFMX Bible, but there's ample documentation. I'll point you to the docs later about how to find out more about that stuff. And that sound means we're getting close to the end, and we are close to the end too. One other thing to be aware of, we didn't talk about this, but whenever we're invoking those web services, if you think about it, every time we're asking for that data, you know, we're going out and getting it. Maybe it's not changing that often. Maybe we're happy with a stock quote once a day. That's maybe not a good example. How about the current number of, sign-ups on your company's site? You know, maybe you don't need to get the same number every time you call it. Maybe you're happy if you get it once a day and show the people the number all day, and then tomorrow it gets it anew. Well, there's no built-in feature to do caching of web service results, but you could do it yourself. And you can do that using coding practices that actually going all the way back to the first issue of the CFTJ or the second issue of the CFTJ, Ben Forda did a talk on how to cache queries in session variables and application variables. And that same concept could be used to cache a result from a web service. And then just need to write some code to time it and refresh it when it makes sense. So again, that's really beyond the scope of a basics class, but I want you to be aware that that's something that you can do and you'll need to do that on your own. And we talked about this briefly earlier. Non-CF consumers won't know what'll happen if you pass back a CF query result. So you could convert it to an array of structs. And there are a couple of CFML functions in the CF Live website that will turn a query into an array of structures and back the other way, or turn a query into a structure of array and back the other way. So you could use that to do this kind of communication. And then you might have wondered, what if I get back data of a certain type? How do I know what it is? What can I do with it? There is no type of function in CFML yet, but there is a CF Live site type of function that you pass it in. Whatever the result was, like my weather thing, I could say, what's type of weather? And it would have said it's a string. But if it was an array, it would have said it's an array. And now you could programmatically say, okay, well, if it's an array, do this. If it's struct, do that. If it's a string, do that. So again, that's something that somebody contributed for free to the cflive.org site, and it's in your handout. So why will this succeed? Well, they're real simple. People generally agree on them. Lots of vendors are supporting them, and people are excited about using them. And they're so easy for us as CFML folks. It's so easy to introduce them. And I know a lot of people who have left this kind of talk, because I've given it for a couple years, and they've gone and then come back and said, man, we got web services going the next week, because I showed them how easy it was to be able to do. What else can you learn? Well, a whole lot of stuff, all these different kinds of topics, and they're elaborated on in the doc, so I'm not going to get into them, but look at all what you could learn. So we've only brushed the surface, but honestly, we've brushed it enough that most of you could go back and do something with this stuff today or tonight in your hotel room while you're waiting to go back to work. There's a lot more you could learn. There's tips and tricks that I'll be doing later in my next presentation on Friday. And then there's a whole host of articles that you have in your handout, and I've given the where they are and or the URLs for them, and the docs specifically in the CFMX 6 and 7 docs and manuals and books, and then a whole bunch of articles. Okay? All kinds of articles. So really, this is not new. It's been around since 2002 when CFMX was released, but a lot of folks haven't learned it. Obviously, seeing how many of you guys are here, thank you. Seeing how many are here, we have 5 minutes, he's saying, so that's cool. We may have a couple minutes for some more questions. Okay, but I'll just run through those resources. And then some that are specific to doing, say, Amazon or Google, some articles, but they may have changed. Unfortunately, web services like the Google Web Service, Amazon Web Service, they do change over time. Again, we're going to cover that sort of stuff a lot more in the talk on Friday. But in summary, they really do open up new possibilities for you as a developer to do cool stuff, to either make your data available to others or to allow others to come get your data from your site. They're so easy to create. You just do that CFC method, access equals remote, and then invoke or CF object to be able to consume them. And then we've shown you various ways to test things. You don't need to understand the details of things like SOAP and WSDL. So it's really great stuff, very easy to do. Expose your data to your clients. Both ColdFusion and Blue Dragon support it. And you can lead the charge to bring web services into your organization. And with that, I'll say thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed your time here at this talk.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.